Matthew chapter 7. In this passage of Scripture, it is a passage beginning with verse 24 that basically, if you grew up in church, you know this very well. You probably learned a little song that is based upon these verses. And I want to take it in just a slightly different direction today. Title of the message is, This is Your Rock. This is Your Rock. As we were driving back from Georgia, the Lord laid this word upon my heart. So I know that it is for us today. Perhaps it's for some who deal specifically with the things that I'll be talking about today. So I pray that you'll open up your heart and make room for the Holy Spirit to work within you today and draw you closer to your Lord. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. I was thinking back to a few years ago. Many of you will remember some years ago as Hurricane Katrina bore down upon the Gulf Coast of the United States and brought devastating consequences, destruction, to the city of New Orleans and other areas along the Gulf Coast. And if you remember the things that we learned some things during that storm that maybe you didn't know before. I know that I did. That New Orleans was built in a bowl, basically, or at least parts of the city. Parts of the city are below sea level, and therefore they are just a target, a sitting duck, if you will, for the ocean waves to come in and to flood. You know, I know that there are reasons that places develop the way that they do, and so I'm not throwing any aspersions on the people who were there in the founding of the city, but I'm saying that today, if we set out to build a city, we would not build it in a bowl below sea level. We would not build it in such a place as that. It would be considered foolishness. It would be stupid to do such a thing because you're just inviting disaster, and it was only a matter of time before this would have happened sooner or later anyway. And so we saw the destruction. We saw the homes that were just destroyed. We saw the lives that were just wrecked with sorrow and pain. We saw people's homes moved off their foundations. We saw property destroyed. We saw memories erased as all of their belongings were washed away. We saw people in tears. We saw people having to start over with their lives again, many moving to other places, some beginning again to build in the same place. And it was a horrible, horrible scene. But it was all because things were not established on the right foundation. All because it was not built on the right foundation, in the right place, on a high foundation, in a place where when the floods come and the rains come that it would be safe, but rather it was vulnerable to the attacks that came. And in this story, in this passage of Scripture, Jesus is using natural illustration. He is using the establishing of a construction of a home upon rock and upon sand in order to teach us something that has spiritual application to our lives. In the natural, houses may fall. And we see Jesus talking about two men. There was a man who built his house upon the sand. And when the rains came and the storms came and the waves came and pushed against that house, the sand just washed away from underneath the house, and the house collapsed and the house fell. The other man built his house up on rock, on a strong foundation, and it says that the rains came and they pounded, the winds came and pounded, the waters rose, the waves came in, but that house was strong. It was secure because it was built upon the right foundation. Jesus also said in another place, heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will abide or will remain forever. And he is speaking of the foundation of his word and of himself. In the natural, houses may fall, because the greatest insurance against destruction, The greatest insurance against destruction of the construction is to be built upon a proper foundation. But even in our lives, as we know, even the best one day will be destroyed. But we remember again those words Jesus said, "Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will remain or will abide forever." So I want you to see as we look again at verse 24, he says, "Here, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock." Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. This is no less true because it's written before the cross. But I want you to understand that as we see God's revelation of himself unfold and progress through the Word of God, what he says here takes on more meaning just before the cross when he says that if my words abide in you and if you abide in me, then you may ask what you will and it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. And then as we study the words of the apostles, we begin to see that Jesus comes and he is the living word. I have to establish this. I have to do the right foundation for this message. This is the recorded word of God for us. It is the living Word of God. It's not just a book. It's not just pages. It's not just print on paper. But it is the living Word of God. But it is the embodiment, if you will, or the reflection of the living Word of God, which is Jesus Christ. It gives us life and a message from Him. Everything of truth that we need to know from the very throne of God. But what I am saying to you is that you cannot separate the two. You can't just take the written Word of God and not see that He is the living Word of God. You can't take Jesus and not take the written Word of God, because the two are one. The living Word of God spoke the Word of God, and we have it here in this book. But you can't separate the two. And therefore, when he says, "If he who hears these words of mine and does them," we find that progress in the Word of God, that we understand that whoever receives me, because I am the living Word, the Word of God. I am the Word. It's not just that I have a teaching and you do it. I am the Word. And so you come to me. And when you come to me, you receive my Word. You receive my Word just as you receive me. Are you with me so far? So He is the living Word. He is the rock. He is our foundation. This is your rock, Jesus Christ, and His Word, which cannot be separated. So when I refer to the rock today, I'm speaking of the Word, as he said in this passage, anyone who hears these sayings of mine and does them. But I'm also speaking of Him, because we are told all through the Word of God that He is our rock. He is our shield. He is our fortress. That rock that followed them and gave them water in the Old Testament was Jesus Christ, the Bible says, foreshadowed for us. So bear with me as we move into this. The Apostle Paul was able to say near the end of his life, don't turn there, but 2 Timothy 4:7-8. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day." Paul did not say, "I've never had a bad day." Paul did not say, "I've never had a doubt." Paul did not say, "I've never had fear." He did not say that there weren't times when he struggled. There were times when it seemed like he was surrounded with darkness. We all have those times, even in our walk with God. But Paul was able to say at the end of his life, near the end of his life, he was able to say, "I have run the race. I've stayed the course. And I have finished. And there's a crown laid up for me." He did not have to say, "My faith has been shipwrecked. My faith has been destroyed and I have foundered upon the rocks and I have fallen." No, he was able to say, in spite of storms, in spite of waves, in spite of rain, in spite of attacks from the enemy of my soul, "I have stayed the course. I have fought the fight and I have run the race. And now there's a crown of righteousness that is laid up for me." And I was thinking about this as I was driving, and I was thinking as I was preparing this message of how many people begin well but do not finish well. How many begin well but somehow lose their way? How many begin with great words of zeal, great declarations of their love for God, great proclamations, "Oh, Jesus, You have saved me. I love you. I'll follow you all the days of my life. Only to fall into desperation and defeat when the newness is gone. Others, like the turtle in the story of the turtle and the hare, don't start off so brash and so bold. Thank you. Don't start off with great declarations and fanfare, and everyone doesn't hear them proclaiming their great love for Jesus. And they quietly follow Jesus, but they're steadfast and they are like a rock. And you see them live a life that honors the Lord. You may not hear them talk about it very much, but at the end of their life, there's a testimony. I've stayed the course. I have run the race. I have finished the race. And now there's a crown of righteousness that is laid up for me. They quietly follow Jesus for a lifetime. And they cross the finish line, having stayed the course. And I was pondering what it is that one lacks and the other has. What it is that causes some, as they follow the Lord, to experience what Jesus is partially talking about in this passage of Scripture, that they began with something that seemed real and powerful, and then when hard times came, it was like the sand washed out from under their feet. While others stand upon solid rock all of their life, serve the Lord faithfully. And the Lord directed my thoughts to the fact that some base their faith upon something fleeting, something that's like sand, while others are anchored firmly in the rock. And I'm really not talking about some being saved and not being saved. All of these things that I'm going to talk about this morning, you may have a faith. You may have a measure of faith. You may have come to Christ in genuine faith, and yet somehow there was a misplaced part of your faith. There was a misplaced devotion or a misplaced understanding, so that part of the foundation is not right and there's sand there. And in time it begins to wash away. It seems elementary what I'm saying and what I'm going to say, but there are many who are lacking the basic understanding of what I am about to share with you. This element of their faith. Again, this is your rock, Jesus Christ. This is your rock, the living Word of God. Everything else falls into place when this is your rock. The unchanging, perfect, dependable Word of God. Now, many people seem to have something of Christ, but when things change, when storms come, when doubts arise, or the heart grows cold, or temptation wears upon them, or discouragement claws at their hearts, it becomes apparent that what they had was only sand. And when the sand begins to wash away from under the house collapses. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. As we were driving, Maggie and I were discussing the cornerstone in this passage of Scripture, and I'm not going to go into detail on it. I just want to lift up one aspect of it this morning that relates to our message. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Coming to Him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. So He's not only the rock, He is the living stone. And we're going to see He is the cornerstone. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on Him will by no means be put to shame." Amen? Is He precious to you? I'm going to tell you this morning, all of this will come together in a moment, but you must love Him. You must come to to Him. Not as an idea, not as a doctrine, though doctrine is important, but you must come to Him as the living rock, the living stone, the cornerstone upon which your life is founded and built in Him. If you are going to stand throughout your life and be able to say like the Apostle Paul, I have run the race, I have finished the course, and now there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And so I want to talk to you for just a moment about this cornerstone. You see, it's not just enough that we recognize in this passage of Scripture that, okay, Jesus is the cornerstone, He's the most important stone, and everything else is built on Him. That's great. But there's something else that I want us to see in this. Because when the cornerstone is laid, even in some building today with stonework, when the cornerstone is laid, it has to be perfect. And it has to be perfectly level. It has to be set in place just right. And then every other stone is related to that stone as the walls are built, as the first courses of stonework are laid. It's all related back to that stone. And if it's not related rightly to that stone, the cornerstone, then everything will be out of alignment and will not be right. There's a point that I'm making here. You are not aligned. He calls, in this passage of Scripture, He calls you living stones. Amen? And He says we're being fitted together. And so we are related to one another in being fitted together in the body of Christ. However, you are not related to each other in this this alignment. You're not aligned with the stone next to you. You're fitted in, but your alignment is not with the stone next to you or the one sitting across from you or the one on the other side of the church. Your alignment is only with the cornerstone. We are always measured according to the cornerstone. Our lives have to line up with the cornerstone, not the person next to us. I don't look at you and say, oh, you poor thing, why can't you get it all together just like me? Neither do I look at somebody else in the church and say, oh, I wish I could just be like them. No, we all fall into traps when we do that. Our alignment is with the Son of God. Our foundation is the Son of God. He is the cornerstone. See, if you lay the cornerstone, and then you begin to lay the first row of stones, and you go out 20 stones or so, well, you may have... No stones are perfect. You may have a stone that's just a little askew. But see, if the next stone, if you line it up with that stone, that one will be just a tiny bit more askew. And you do the next one according to that one, and before long, the whole row of stones is going to be off of the foundation. It's going to be out of alignment. Because you don't line those stones up with each other. You pull a string. You do something so that every stone is lined up with the cornerstone. Likewise, when you start building upward and you drop a plumb line so that it is perfectly straight, perfectly perpendicular to the base. Every stone as you go up, you don't do it according to the stone underneath it. You do it according to the line that lines it up with the cornerstone. Or else when you get 20 or 30 stones, the wall is that high, the whole thing's leaning. And before you know it, the whole thing falls down. Jesus is the cornerstone. I know this is elementary, but we don't align ourselves by measuring ourselves with other people or following after other people. We are fitted together, and sometimes we rub each other like sandpaper. We are fitted together as living stones, but our alignment is with Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, the rock of our salvation and the very foundation of our faith. And if we are not aligned with Him, when the storms come, when the winds come, when the rains come, the whole house will fall. Why is this so important? Well, if you will just consider with me some possible foundations that some of you, even as believers, may have developed. Many Christians do. Let's consider what they are, but as I do this, I want you to understand that the things that I'm going to enumerate in the rest of this message, they are very often good things, but they are not the foundation. But many people allow these things to become their foundation. These things that I'm going to share with you, they may be good things, but they're supplemental things. How many of you take supplements of some kind? It's okay. Take supplements, you know. You don't live by the supplements, do you? They're not the foundation. The foundation is your diet. sunshine, water to drink, the air that you breathe. That's your foundation. The supplements are supplemental. That's why they're called supplements. They're good, but you don't base your whole life upon your supplements, do you? Likewise, the things that I'm about to share with you are good things in your walk with Christ, but they are not the foundation. And they are not where your faith is to be anchored, and they are not the cornerstone, and they do not guide your life, and your life is not to be aligned according to them. Jesus is the rock. This is your rock. Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. And so the first one that I would share with you is the foundation of feelings or emotion. The foundation of feelings or emotion. Some people come to the Lord, and I praise God for this. Every time I've ever seen it, it has been one of the most exciting things in the world to me. Some people come to the Lord and they have a Damascus Road experience like the Apostle Paul. You know, one day they're just filthy, stinking heathen, as all of us were. But the next day, they have been touched by the power of God. Their life has been transformed. They're on fire for God. There was a rush of emotion and excitement that has just fired them up. And they're not even the same person that they were the day before. And I praise God when I see people like that. But I also get concerned and take them to prayer because their goosebumps that they feel and their excitement they feel, that they feel in the presence of God, sometimes can turn out to be fleeting. What do I mean by that? Well, some people can live on that emotion. It's real. It's a gift. It's a good thing. But some people, they come to the Lord and then they bank everything on that feeling. And they can do that. Some people, it may last a month or two. Some people can do it for years. Often when they do it for years, it's because they go to meetings and things that are emotionally charged so that they're always having these mountaintop experiences and they're always walking in emotion and excitement and being stirred. And they do that day after day, month after month, sometimes for years. Now, don't misunderstand me. I love for my emotions to be stirred by the Lord, and it can truly be the Lord. But time goes by. How many of you know it does? Time passes, storms come, the reality of life begins to hit, problems, trials pound away. And after a while, those feelings sometimes begin to diminish, and they don't know what to do. Suddenly they think God's left them because they can't feel God anymore. Suddenly they think there must be some great sin in their life, though they've prayed and it's not been revealed to them, and they've walked according to the Word of God, but they don't feel the goosebumps anymore, and they're overwhelmed. They didn't think there would be such hard trials and such attacks from the enemy and such storms in their life. They can't feel the emotion and the excitement anymore. And what they're left with is sand. Sand. Because they have not built their living faith upon a living rock. This is your rock. You'll understand this a little more when I come back to it. This is your rock. Jesus Christ. This is your rock. This is your foundation. Jesus Christ. The Word of God. Faith in Jesus Christ. The second one that I would take you to is the foundation of acceptance. The foundation of acceptance. Coming to Jesus Christ brings you into a new family. Amen? And for many people, for some of you, that may not be as big a deal as it should be. But for some people, maybe their own family is just a wreck. Or maybe they've never been accepted anywhere, never been loved anywhere. Maybe they've been told they were stupid all of their life and would never amount to anything. And then they come into the family of God, they receive Christ as Savior, and they come in and they are loved. And it is truly an overwhelming thing. And I praise God for it because we are to be the family. We are to be the body of Christ. And they come in and they're accepted for the first time in their life. I praise the Lord for that. Again, some come from backgrounds where they were never loved. And now their heart is filled with the warmth of Christian fellowship, overflowing with warmth. And they fill their lives with this fellowship. Listen, you know, I preach this as much as anybody. I believe in not forsaking the assembling of the saints. That's what the Word says. But often people who come like this, then they They soak up, and they should. They soak up that acceptance and that love, and they're at every meeting, and they're just embracing it, and they're at every gathering, every prayer meeting, and they're meeting people for over meals in restaurants, other people in the church, and they're just finding this love that they never had before, and everything in their walk with Christ now is centering around this fellowship, this warmth, this acceptance, and this love that they have. But as the years go by, guess what? They find that, can you believe it, that even Christians can sometimes be unloving? They find that sometimes other believers let them down. And sometimes they begin to experience a crisis. They begin to feel let down. Not understanding that while God commands us to love and to fellowship, and there is a real fellowship and a real love, we're still flawed this side of heaven. And God wants us to find our acceptance, first of all, solely in Him. Now am I belittling fellowship in the church? No. But what I'm telling you is that if you find your acceptance and your love and all of your faith and your walk with Christ hinges on that fellowship and that love and that acceptance that you first found when you came into the body of Christ, but you have not found that acceptance and that love in Christ Himself, in the cornerstone, then when people let you down, because God will let them be brought down off of their pedestal, because He wants you to have your love and your acceptance and all of your roots in Him first. Otherwise, you can't stand. When you begin to see the flaws in the people of God, and after all of that time, you begin to look around and they're just not exactly what you thought they were. Your foundation begins to crumble. The sand begins to wash away because you built your life upon fellowship and love for the brethren, this beautiful thing, but not first of all upon the bedrock of faith in Jesus Christ, who says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So in other words, this rock cannot be our feelings. This rock cannot be our fellowship and our comradeship in the body of Christ. This is our rock, Jesus Christ. Only one, Jesus, the living Word of God. Then thirdly, there's the foundation of works and ministry. Some people, I would say most people, want to know that their life counts for something. Amen? Don't most of you, isn't that part of your walk that you wanted to know that your life counts for something, that it has meaning, that it has purpose? Multitudes today buy books on how to find purpose in life because there's within us that desire to know what our purpose is and what the meaning is and why we were put here. We want our life to count for something as believers. We want our life to count for something eternal. That we are not the products of evolution, but we are created beings made in the image of the invisible God with divine purpose in our lives. Add to that, many people really, really need to be needed for one reason or another. They need to be needed. And guess what? They come into the body of Christ, and what better place to be if you need to be needed? There's always something to do to give you purpose. There's always something to do that you can pour yourself into because the church is a place of service. It's a place of giving. It's a place of pouring out. And so they come into the church, they come to Christ, and they find those things that need to be done. And they begin to serve, and they begin to minister, they begin to pour their life. And they go from one commitment to another, just giving of themselves and giving of themselves, truly because God has touched their life. But they've also found purpose and they've found meaning. They know that the things that they're doing according to the Word of God have eternal significance, have eternal value. That they are not wood, hay, and stubble if they're done unto the Lord, but they're gold, silver, and precious stones. And they begin to pour their life into these things. And these are good things. They feed the poor. They witness. They evangelize. They preach. They serve with music and talents. They help set up, help take down. They do all of these necessary things. And indeed, the Bible says that we were created unto good works. created to do good works, to bring glory to God. Many people find that that is who they are. And then if for some reason they had to stop, maybe that ministry folded, or the job that they were doing wasn't needed any longer, suddenly they're deflated. Who am I? It's like the sand is being washed out from under me, because that's who I was. Because for them, their works are their purpose. Their works are who they are and that which brings meaning to their life. But beloved, as important as these works are, and they are important, they are not our anchor. The things you do for the Lord, that's not your rock. That's not your anchor. Your feelings, your emotions change with the wind. They're not trustworthy to be a rock or an anchor. Fellowship comes and goes. I love you, but you could all turn against me tomorrow. My fellowship first has to be in Jesus Christ. Or if you turn against me tomorrow, my life will be, my feet will be just swept out from under me. I won't know who I am. Ministries change. Service changes. That's not your rock. It's not who you are. Jesus is the rock. You may say, well, that sounds great and spiritual. What does that mean? Jesus is the rock upon which your life must be built, or it will fall. His Word. His presence. Not based upon feelings, but based upon faith, which we'll come back to. This is our rock. Jesus, the one and only, the Son of God. Our hearts must be aligned with cornerstone, with nothing else. With cornerstone. Fourthly, for some people their faith is founded upon answered prayer. Okay, Pastor Mark, what are you talking about now? Because our salvation is an answer to prayer, amen? Yes. But people come to the Lord, they come to Christ, and it seems for many when they first come to the Lord, they're just filled with faith, and everything they pray gets answered. It's like you come to the Lord and you begin to pray and you're taught that He cares about the tiniest details of your life. And so you pray for that. You get to the mall and you pray, oh God, give me a good parking spot. And boom, there it is, right in front of the store that you're going to. And you come home and you're like, oh, we're $10 short today. Oh, and I pray and boom, there's a check in the mail for $10. And everything you pray, it's like God's just right there, just answering everything that you pray. And it's amazing. And oh, life's going to be this way until I go home to be with Jesus. And I don't know about you and how you raise your children, but good parents, as they raise their children, there comes a time that where they used to say, give me a lollipop. Okay, here's the lollipop. Daddy, can I have the keys to the car? Yeah, here's the keys to the car. Now I'm 29. Dad, can you give me a car? No, it's time for you to buy your own. Get a job. You know? And the Lord raises us up. It's not that He doesn't care about every detail, but I want to share something with you. If God continues to give you parking places and $10 in the mail, which, don't misunderstand me, I can have a crisis tomorrow and I may need to pray for that $10 in the mail. But I'm telling you that if it's boom, 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 and it never changes and it always comes that way, you are subject to deception, and you can fall into word of faith nonsense that everything about your walk with God is give me, give me, give me, and you know what? If somehow it doesn't come, I must not be walking in faith. Something must be wrong with my faith because I prayed and it didn't happen today. The Lord will take you to a place He wants you to understand that He cares for you, He loves you, and you can trust Him even when you can't hear His voice, even when it seems that He has withdrawn His presence, though He has not, even when it seems that He's not answering any prayers, that He is faithful because He's a rock and He changes not. I may change and I may pray the wrong thing, but He doesn't change. He is my foundation. He's my rock. People come to the Lord and they have that prayer life, and as time goes by, the Lord begins to hold back some And they begin to think, oh, God's left me. God's left me. He's not answering my prayers the same way that He used to. So then Satan plants doubts and fears. And then storms arise. Family issues, problems at work, sickness. The wind is howling, howling, howling. And now it's like everything they once knew is just sand. Because God's not immediately answering it, immediately taking care of it. God's letting them go through a storm. Fancy that. And they crumble. Beloved, the great privilege of the believer's life is answered prayer. But I want to add this to it. If He never answered another prayer in my life or yours, He is still worthy of an eternity of devotion and praise for us because of what He's already done for us, because He's our rock, and because He changes not. Your anchor must be in the rock, which is Jesus Christ. Our faith has to be anchored in the bedrock of God's Word, revealed to us through Jesus Christ. Our anchor must be in Him and in His Word. He must be our rock. Or else when the storms come, we all fall down. Now, I am so glad that when we come together in worship, and we're so blessed here with our praise and worship, we come together. I'm grateful. I'm not knocking any of these things. I'm grateful that I may go to a conference, or I may come to church, and God may stir my emotions, or I may feel His presence, and it may be a very, very sweet thing. I am grateful that you're able to come together, and sometimes you just know that God is right there, and you just sense His presence, and you know that He's speaking to your heart. You come together, and you're excited, and your emotions are stirred. But I am far more glad. This is what I'm far more glad about. I am far more glad that when I feel none of those things, I know that He doesn't change. And I know that He's my rock. And I know that He's there whether I feel it or not. And that I have an anchor that's in Him. And I can stand in the time of storm because it doesn't depend upon my feelings. I am so grateful for you to be my family. I'm so grateful that I have you, the body of Christ, to come home to. I am so glad that I am accepted and loved in this family. But as I said, you could all turn on, I think better of you, but you could all turn on me tomorrow. Or there could be one of those, God forbid, 50 people, one of the churches decides to pull out, leave, or whatever. You've got all these possibilities of things that can happen. But I don't have to be moved in my faith, because it's not anchored in my fellowship with you. As precious as that is, it's anchored in Jesus Christ. He's the cornerstone. He's always the same. He's my rock. I am so glad that I have purpose in life, that I have found meaning in life. I'm so glad that God laid His hand upon me. I fought it for many, many years. Didn't want to be a preacher. I am so glad that God touched my life and brought me to my knees and changed my heart so that I would follow Him in ministry. It's the hardest thing that I can imagine ever doing in this life. But I am so grateful to the Lord that I know what He's called me to do. And it's to serve the body of Christ. But I'm going to tell you something. I am far more glad, far more grateful to know that if something happened to me that I could never lift a finger again to do any work for Him, He's still my rock. I still have purpose. My purpose and my meaning isn't just wrapped up in my ministry. It's wrapped up in Him. And I am so grateful that as I look back over the years that I can name answered prayers, times that God intervened, supernatural things that He did in response to prayer. So many times that He answered in ways that were beyond imagination. Sometimes now He doesn't give me what I ask for. And I don't sulk. And I don't pout. And I don't say He's unfair. He's my rock. Not answered prayer. He's the rock. Beloved, feelings will come and go. Good and bad. Emotions will come and go. If you depend upon them, you'll fail. You will have a shipwrecked faith. Relationships will come and go. Fellowship will come and go. If you depend solely upon it, you'll have a shipwrecked faith. Works and ministry will come and go and will change. If you depend upon that for your meaning, that will be a shipwrecked faith. Prayer will be easy sometimes and difficult other times. Will seem to bring answers quickly in one season and not to in another season. If that throws you, your faith is shipwrecked. You have to settle this. What is your life based upon? If it's based upon the rock, the living rock, Jesus Christ, the living Word of God, He never changes. And you can go through this life and storms will come and winds will come, rains will come, the enemy will come to try to tear you down. And you may wonder, where is God in this? And why don't I feel anything? And where are my friends? Instead of blaming others, say, where is my faith? Where is my rock? It hasn't changed. It's right here. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He can be trusted with every word that He has spoken to you. You must settle this. Your alignment is not with others. Your alignment is not with your feelings. Your alignment is not with answers. Your alignment is with the cornerstone. And if you get this right, you'll be able to say like Paul, at the end of your days, I have run the race. I have finished the course. And now there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Amen. Let's stand.